Dude, live. It's not the first time we've done a podcast together.
Yeah, you were on our show.
Yeah. So I was saying before we started and then we got on this, podcast is like what you do now.
I mean, it's one of the things. You know, it's one of the things. I mean, we've done 170 episodes now.
Impulsive.
172 episodes.
I mean, well, what about Night Shift?
Probably on like maybe episode like 50 or some shit. Fuck. It's been going, bro. When you live with somebody like Logan Paul and you work with somebody like that, I think a lot of people get hung up and want to think a lot about, yo, how talented this kid is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take anything away from the kid's talent. He's talented as fuck. But his true factor, his factor that changes him from everybody else is his work ethic.
Just doing enough.
That kid enough. Grinds. And he'll always say Jake grinds harder. Logan works from the morning, from the moment he wakes up in the morning until the moment he goes to sleep at night. That's all he does. The only thing he cares about is content. The only thing he cares about is filming, making the best content for his fans. And so like when I came on the scene and started working under him, that was the only thing I knew. You know, I started putting out videos for the Night Shift that I told him. I was like, yo, I'm doing it for fun. And he's like, not anymore. You're not. Not when it started going 100,000, 500,000, a million views.
Yeah.
And now it's at, you know, 5-6 million views sometimes.
I think it's like what I noticed, because I knew you before you guys started doing the whole podcast shit together. And then the minute you started doing podcasts, that's when you started really fucking shine, in my opinion. That's what it looked like to me. Because you have a very different approach to doing the same. Obviously, you guys are on the same podcast show together.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a very different like personality just in general. But it blends really well with the thing. But what's going on right now with you and Logan? I had to bring this up.
The weird thing about it is like, I guess it will depend on when,
cause you're not living there right now.
I'm not, okay. But I guess it will depend on when this airs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know you said you probably get it out pretty soon. So, we had a little falling out. Listen, it's not easy to work, play, live, romantic relationships with like people and just all of that together under the same roof all the time. And, I mean, the catalyst for it is hilarious.
I know, everybody's talking about the shrimp. We got to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's funny.
I mean, like I said, when is this going to come out?
Probably fucking just post it tomorrow. I'm just going to run it tomorrow.
All right, cool. Yeah, then I can.
So by the way, guys, if you're watching this, I'm going to be posting these once a week from here on out until you never hear from me again. Because I came back like 3 times. I've been doing podcasts for like 3 years.
You should.
And bro. I get down and up. But I actually do really enjoy this kind of content. It's fun.
It's the best, bro. Podcasts are hot right now.
So once a week, when should we post, Steve? Every Thursday. Every Thursday, I'm going to post a podcast. This is my first one back.
It'll be a good one, bro. It'll be fun. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah. So, okay. Subscribe, comment, all that good shit. So tell me the story. Because you told me this already. I just wanted to put it on the internet because it's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, the catalyst for it is this shrimp. And Logan Paul has everything. He has everything in the world. He's got the house, the cars, everything, you know? And
if he doesn't have it, he could probably get it.
He could get it.
Yeah.
And so his birthday was coming up, and for my birthday, I don't know if your viewers know it, but he, you know, kind of infamously or famously gave me Lana Rhodes because he knew I was a big fan.
Right.
He called up Riley, and Riley activated.
And that's actually how you met.
That's how me and Lana actually met in
that's
real life.
Fucking crazy.
It was on a vlog. I didn't know anything about it. I turned around and there she was behind me. She smacked my ass. And the rest is history. And now we're dating and, you know.
And you were actually like a real fan of Lana Rhodes prior to this.
I was. I think he played it up a little bit. Like, obviously, like, I was, you know, I'd seen her shit. Like, I think every guy's seen a little bit of her work. But, like, I wasn't, like, some mega fan that was just jacking off to all her shit. But I knew who she was. And I knew she was, like, the top. I knew like she was like the unattainable, like she had stopped shooting porn, like she was out of the game, she hadn't shot in years, and I was like, yo, this girl is so bad, and like I want to meet her. And then we met and we hung out. So anyways, we can get more into that after, but anyway, so his birthday's coming up, or was coming up, and it was April 1st, and I was like, damn, what am I going to get this kid? And
wait, his birthday's April 1st?
Yeah,
that's kind of sick. It's kind of sick.
Craziest day for a birthday. And he historically hates his birthday because his brother pranked him, and people have pranked him over the years, and he hates his birthday. And he always says, I don't want any gifts. And I should have listened there. But my boy Mac, or his boy Mac, our roommate, had this idea. And Logan has always talked day in and day out, different podcasts all the time about this mantis shrimp. He's like, yo, it's my favorite thing in the whole world. I love the fucking mantis shrimp. It's my favorite shit. It's got the strongest punch. I know. It's so ridiculous.
It's just so funny, bro.
It's so, the whole thing is so ridiculous. And so he's like, So he's like, it's got the strongest punch. It's got the best vision in the animal kingdom. The shit's so dope. So Mac had this idea, and he's like, let's get him a fucking mantis shirt. Yeah, so yeah. We activated on it. Me and Danny, his executive assistant, activated on it.
I love Danny.
And she's the best. Yeah. Shout out Danny. And so we're just like, you know, going through the motions, trying to figure out, like, how are we going to make this happen? And it's going to be like, it ends up being like $1,200. We got to get this tank.
Yeah.
We got to have the people come install the shit. We got to do all these different things to pull it off. And I start hyping it up, and I'm on the podcast and I'm talking about it and I'm going through all the different things and I'm hyping it up too much.
Was this a few days before the first?
Yeah, it was like a few days before the first was going to come. As you know, Logan has everything.
Right.
The kid's got everything in the entire world. He's got the cars, the house, the everything. Girls, everything. Right. Yeah. And if he can't afford it,
he's going to get it. Yeah. Right?
And so he had been talking on like podcasts and stuff. He'd been talking to me in person, on the vlogs, everything about this mantis shrimp for the longest time. It's his favorite animal in the whole world. It's got the fastest strike. It's got the hardest strike, and it's ridiculous. The fastest like animal in like the animal kingdom or some shit like
and
that.
And it's colorful.
And it's super colorful. Okay. And so he's always talking about this mantis shrimp. And so we didn't know what to get him for his birthday. And our roommate Mac had this idea, yo, let's get him a mantis shrimp. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, damn, yo, he's going to fucking love that shit. He's going to be so excited about it. And so I started hyping it up on the podcast. Right. And this was problem number one.
Okay. Too much hype.
Setting unrealistic expectations. I wasn't doing it, you know, for any other reason besides I really thought this kid was going to get absolutely amped about the mantis shrimp. I was like, it's his favorite animal in the entire world. He's going to love it. And so it's a couple days before his birthday and we get a call from the animal people and they're like, yo, bad news, man. The ports are all closed. We're in the middle of a global pandemic. We can't get you the colorful mantis shrimp. We're not going to be able to get it for you. And so I'm like, fuck.
The regular one though.
All right, just get the regular one. So we get the regular one. It's this brown ass fucking little mantis shrimp.
Ooh.
And his birthday rolls around and, we give it to him. I'm filming it. He's filming it. And at first, he's super excited. I take the blindfold off, everything.
But you got like a cage. You got a ton of shit for this, right?
Yeah. So it was like a $1,200 like tank. Like you had to have all this insulation, all this shit done just to house this mantis shrimp because it strikes so hard. It strikes really hard. So you have to get really thick glass.
It could break the glass.
It could break the glass.
Holy shit.
And so we do all this shit and we give it to him. And at first, he's acting really excited. But then as the day goes on, I start to realize that he's not as pumped about it as originally.
Wait. As the day goes on, I mean,
So dinner comes along, and I got Lana with me, and we're sitting at dinner with a group of people, and Jake's there, and everybody's at the dinner table, and out of nowhere, he points the camera at me, and he's like, "Yo, man, you got me this fucking shit ass mantis shrimp," and I thought it was a prank. Because at first, because the way I was raised and the way I was brought up was if someone gives you a gift, even if it's a pile of dog shit in a bag, you're like, yo, thank you so much for that gift. Even if you fucking hate it. That's the way I was raised. If somebody gives you a handgun and it's pointed at you and they're like, yo, the only person that could shoot is you. You're just like, yo, thank you so much for that, man. That was really fucking, like you just say thank you and you walk away.
Well, it's because gifts aren't mandatory.
They're not. And so, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. But here's another learning I got out of this besides set realistic expectations.
Right.
Don't expect other people to always act the way you do.
That's huge.
Massive. It's been a massive learning for me. And so like just because I was raised, and by the way, pretty much everybody was raised that way. If somebody gives you a gift, even if you hate it, my mom gave me socks, Hanes socks,
every Christmas.
Every fucking year. I hated her for it. Mom, I don't want no more fucking Hanes socks. I hate Hanes socks. But every time I got them, I said, Mom, I love you. Thank you for the Hanes socks, even though I fucking hated them. And so a part of me thought it was a prank and he was just trying to make like a bit of content out of it. And so I played along with it at first, but as the night went on and the cameras turned off, I went up to him and I said, yo, please tell me this is a prank. Like, please tell me that like we didn't put, cause
this is off camera.
Yeah. Another part of it that's important is that like the whole group put in money to it. Like the rest of the employees, like a bunch of people. And he directed the I don't like the gift at just me. And that was fine. But I started to feel bad for the other people that were involved in the equation. And so once the cameras went off, you know, we got in this fight in this argument, and I said a bunch of fucked up shit, and I got really angry, and I lost my cool. And
what
I said,
made you the maddest, though? Like, what made you feel like you...
There's a lot of factors. Like, some of it I'll talk about on the show, and okay. some of it I won't. But I just, I don't know. I guess, like, I just felt, like, dismissed a little bit, and like yeah. I really had hope that he was truly going to enjoy the present, and so, and by the way, also like commissioned like a piece of artwork for him,
which I saw was dope as fuck.
It was dope as fuck yeah. from the UK, and he didn't put that in the vlog, and so like I was kind of like I was just like I don't know, I was just kind of upset, and I said a lot of shit that I didn't mean, and we got in a huge fight, and then I ended up, you know, leaving that night, going to Lana's house, and the next day, you know, we kept kind of arguing and going at it. And he was like, yo, why don't you kind of grab your shit for a couple of days and take off?
Oh, fuck. So and, it stuck around. It's still around.
Yeah. And it's about a week and a half after. And so like the shrimp, you know, like it's all funny because the shrimp is so stupid.
And
like,
it's such a small thing.
And it's such a small thing. But it expanded and really grew into something that was a little bit bigger and a little bit more meaningful than that. And so
what do you think is the main issue? Because when you first told me the story, I was like, what's really wrong?
I mean, yo, the biggest thing at the end of the day... Wow, is that I spilled shit all over myself. The biggest thing at the end of the day is what I said. It's about me expecting things.
People to be the way you might
people
be.
People to accept gifts or to be as excited as I am about something. And I truly was excited. I really was. And so, you know... I made a lot of mistakes in it, and it turned into this thing that like I think the internet's like kind of aware of right now. And but... deep down, dude, like, I love that kid. I really do, dude. I truly love that kid. And what he's done for me over the past couple years is I could never repay that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And by the way, vice versa. He would sit here and tell you the same thing. Our value is tremendously symbiotic. I joined him at a time when things were the darkest they'd ever been. It was just post-Tokyo. No one wanted anything. They didn't want shit. They didn't want shit to do with us. And I was there. I was by his side. And I went on every show, every podcast like this. And I said, yo, I love this kid with all my heart. He's changing. He's a good person deep down. I know him. I see it. And I'll fight for the kid forever. And by the way, it's going to be good. Everything's going to be fine. It was just, I think it's like also like a product of like quarantine. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, we're all a little messy.
Facts.
Yeah. I mean, just being around and being in like the same space with someone for so long. Like you said it specifically though, like, same friends, like your business relationship, you're also like current working relationship while you guys are still at it. I know you're still working with him and for him, like working together.
I'm wearing a Maverick shirt right now.
Right.
I'm
but I, wearing, and I remember wearing, I remember we were shit. We were actually training the other night when he first told me this story, and like in between the training he's like working on.
I was massaging copy for his pandemic mask coming out. Yeah.
So you're working on this. So
bro, listen.
Everything's really close. And this whole quarantine thing, I think, makes people a little bit like just on edge. I feel like
it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. But I mean, as far as mine and his relationship goes, like I just don't know that there's anything else like it in the internet space. We live together. We work together. We've been through so much shit together. And I think. One of the things that's kind of ingrained in me because of the shit that you know about my past, which, you know, I'm sure we'll get into a little bit
today.
Yeah,
I want to talk about that.
I value different things than a lot of other people. You know what I'm saying? And like one of the things that I truly value is loyalty. If there was a day that came up, even if that day's today, where someone outside of the Maverick organization offered me more money or there was more clout to be had or something like that, I'm not going. I'm not moving. I have intense fucking loyalty.
And there's a lot of people in this industry who would.
Oh, bro, everybody fucking would. Everybody would. The thing about this is, like, I know that this kind of shit, entertainment, Hollywood, clout, money, is here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah,
it fucking is, bro. And it's like, whereas a lot of people are able to fake this extreme interest in, like, the new palette of the week or, like, what TikToker's hot, like... I have to force myself to give a fuck about that shit because I just don't care. I don't give a fuck.
I feel you.
It's so hard for me too because I've seen it all. I got a text yesterday that another homie of mine just died from the same epidemic that almost took me, bro. And so it's like, yo, shit is so much more real than this bubble. You feel me? And so like my everything's a little bit different for me. My loyalty remains constant. It's very important to me.
I feel you, man. I know you struggle with anxiety. And it's something we were actually mid podcast, and he like was just like, yo, let's just stop this. I got to go take a breather. We went outside and talked. I relate to that shit so heavy. And I guess I wanted to bring that up, obviously, because like I think a lot of people listening could benefit from a conversation about this kind of stuff, because I don't think enough people talk about it. Specifically people who have a voice or people that people are actively listening to or trying to learn from. When did that start for you? Because I'll tell you when it started for me.
It's tricky to really pinpoint it because, so like, I think mental illness and substance abuse are two things that go so incredibly hand in hand that people don't put in the same conversation always. And they are eternally interlocked. And so I don't know if the reason why I spent 10 years struggling to beat an addiction to heroin and OxyContin and Xanax and those drugs was a result of my severe anxiety, or if it was a contributor to my current severe anxiety. I can't figure that out. You know what I'm saying? But
like, which one came first?
Yeah. But to be honest with you, my anxiety has been really bad over the past 6 to 7 years. Once I got clean about 10 years ago in 2010, and maybe in about 2013, 2014, I stopped being able to completely control, how my mind works. You know what I'm saying? And that revolving cycle of thoughts and that feeling of, you know, like I'm not good enough, or those insecurities, and they manifest themselves into anxiety attacks from time to time.
Especially
when I'm in new settings. And so like a lot of people might remember episode 1 of Impulsive, where I had a pretty infamous one where I had to leave the set for a little bit. But I've gotten better at it. I've gotten better at controlling it. I've started to find some natural remedies as well. And just like, I have a CBD pen with me right now, or like I'll take like CBD tinctures. As well as like deep breathing and just trying to stay like stress free. But yeah, I mean, it's something I still struggle with. And it's funny because it's my biggest gift and curse, because it's a curse because I hate it. And I wake up every fucking day, bro, and I fucking hate it, dude. Honestly, it's like, it could like drive me to like insanity some days, how bad it gets. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like just not having control and just like not being able to just enjoy like the simple things of life. Like, I know I should be. The fact that I'm still breathing when so many of my friends from my life aren't. You know what I'm saying? Like, but try telling that to somebody that's suffering from depression or anxiety. Yo, you should be more grateful. You should feel better about your situation. It doesn't help.
Yeah.
Until you're able to control it.
Yeah, I mean, bro, my I don't know if I ever told you this in detail. My father took his life. He was heavily involved in substance abuse, and he took his life when I was 6. He hung himself. And that was when like all the shit started for me. Mm-hmm. And it was
way different vibe than
my bad. Yeah. My,
No. This is fantastic.
Cause I asked you something earlier, and you were talking about like the money and shit not mattering and all this shit. Mm-hmm. And like, I asked you where it started. I remember being young, and I remember like your whole life kind of feels normal, and then something like in my life, in your guys' life listening, like something drastically really changed for me. And I remember like every single day after that, like the things that I thought of and the things that consumed my mind were so different. Like everything became so real. And like my thought of like my own mortality, like how am I going to die? What does that mean? Because prior to that, 6 years old, you have no, like everything is temporary.
Yeah.
Completely temporary. You get cut, it's temporary. You heal, it's gone. Your mom telling you your dad's not coming back, you're like, what does that mean? So I remember every day moving forward growing up, I'm like, what about me? Am I going to die? Why did this person leave? The thoughts of like, I'm not good enough. The thoughts of like, what am I going to do with my life? How am I going to die? And am I going to die? Like, what does that mean? And I remember thinking growing up about other kids. Like, I remember like going to class or going to school and like walking to school and then like going off in like the cut, which is like, you know, like where people go smoke weed and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
And crying and thinking about like, do other people think about the things that they're thinking about? Right. Like, cause I remember prior to that, I was much more present. I was way more just, I was doing things and I was just like I didn't think of the future. Yeah. It was just like, I'm alive and I'm doing stuff. I'm riding my bike with my friends. I shit my pants. Cause like I was trying to make myself fart. We were laughing on the curb. Right. And then it was like, I thought of everything, and then I started thinking too much. And that's why now, like you said, the blessing and the curse, but in my life, like I just remember that overhaul of like, I can't stop thinking.
Yeah.
And when I, you know, like when we were doing this podcast and you were like, fuck, I need to take a minute. Like, yeah. I so strongly relate to that. And I remember it was probably like 3 years ago, my anxiety was like at its worst. Like, I, every single night I couldn't go to sleep. And it was just like constant, my, the cycle over and over about thoughts of everything.
Yeah.
Am I going to continue to be successful? Like, am I going to die? Like, and I've had, and that's why I asked you what kind of anxiety was it? Like, what kind of anxiety do you feel? Is it physical? Is it just mental?
Yeah.
And it's hard, 'cause like, I guess I've gone through so much of it,
yeah.
But I can definitely say at this point in my life, it has gotten a lot better.
That's awesome. I'm in the same boat. You know what I'm saying? It's much better. I've had times where, I hate to say this, yo, but honestly, like, I've had times where, like, I didn't want to be alive. You know what I'm saying? Like, where like,
I've had, like, moments like that, but I'm so afraid of fucking what that means.
Yeah, yeah. No, of course. Like, I never planned my death or even thought about it like that seriously. But, like, you know, I'll always remember a conversation that I had with my sister, and, like, I don't even think, I might not even be able to make it through this, but, like, a conversation I had with my sister in Nantucket. We took a family trip there, and time I spend with my family now will always mean something more to me than it ever has, because I almost lost them all. You know what I'm saying? Because of my own actions. You know what I'm saying? In those 10 years that I just hurt and abused everyone, they were collateral damage to my addiction and my dealing and the things that I did. And when I get time to spend with my family now, it means the entire world to me. And so I was with my sister one day, and it was just like this sunny day in Nantucket, and we were there for like some trip. And I told her, like, this was probably like 2013, 2014. I was like, yo, like, I'm just not in a good place right now. You know what I'm saying? And like, I was like, I just, like, I think about not being here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, like, I'll remember that. And it's good to remember that, because I don't feel like that now.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, that's important, man. 'Cause I'm sure there's people listening and people who can relate to feeling that and not being aware that it can go away.
Yeah.
And your life right now is so different. Like,
well, that's my biggest, so that's the biggest, kind of pedestal or vertical that I stand on for people that watch me, and is just to let people know that it will get better. You know what I'm saying? And I know I get like, I'm like a little bit worked up thinking about like that day, but my days aren't like that anymore. And so like, I like to tell people that no matter how dark your road gets, and no matter how much you feel like the world is weighing down on you and putting you in a place that you could never make it out of, and the day gets so dark and there's nothing left, you can't see anymore because everything is so
clouded. Yeah.
Keep that little light, just that little light. I had just the littlest glimmer left, you know what I'm saying, of that light within me to keep going. And that was what got me through. And now it's a big fucking bright light. And I deal with a little bit of shit from day to day, but I'm so fucking blessed and so lucky to be sitting here with you today and just like having a candid conversation about shit that like I could never even try to say like I'm sad about shit or anything. Like, I struggle, but I'm good though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I feel you so heavy, man. Like, it's crazy. 'Cause like people will ask me over the years of me filming content, like making, 'cause I've talked a lot about this stuff in the past on my YouTube, but it was always videos that never really got as much like engagement or views or followers or likes, because it wasn't like, you know, something viral, wasn't something crazy. I would just stand and talk about stuff like this. And I knew that, well, looking back now, I know that that was the thing though that kind of got people most engaged with me, the thing that helped like really grow what I did. And it's interesting because when you're in it and it's the shittiest time, you're like, what the fuck is, why am I, remember from 6 years old to like fucking 22, I'm like, why is this my life? Why did my dad leave me? I'm graduating high school. I'm thinking like, they all got their family graduate. Like, what? Like, I don't, how come I don't have this? Am I not good enough? All those thoughts of like, just not feeling like enough, not feeling good. And then all that shit and me trying to process it for years to try and figure out like, am I good enough? Like, I'm proud of myself. How come someone was like, I dealt with a lot of that.
I'm sure.
And then years go by when like, then I started to just talk about those thoughts that I had And obviously it was in relationship to lifting, and that's when I would talk about it. And then to look back now, like years and years of doing that, and then seeing like the life that I was able to build, that completely felt like completely out of touch for me. Like 100% out of touch when I started. Like, I remember when I first started like doing shit, and I was like, I learned how much a Mercedes was.
Yeah.
Like, this is when I was like 16. And I was like, what? Holy, I was like, that's, I'm going to get that when I'm 50.
Right.
And it's crazy because like shit is so like, it seems so fucking far away when you're like starting, or when you're going through it, and when you're in it, like the dark shit.
Yeah.
But like, it's so interesting now looking back that all the good that I have in my life and all the great relationships, all the friends, like all the people that stuck around through me sharing like the fact that I would call people at night, or I would wake people up and be like, yo, I'm having a fucking anxiety attack. Can you just sit with me?
That's it.
And now I'm looking back now, I'm like, all that shit that I went through is also the reason why I have all the beautiful things that I have in my life today.
That's the only reason I'm here. The stuff that I went through, the things that I've been through, and the reason why I'm also a little bit more like emotional and a little bit more in tune with my emotions today and with my past is because I'm finishing the final draft of my book, which is coming out on May 5th.
That's lit.
Yeah.
I want to write a book. So it's so fun. I was just having this conversation with Dan.
I know Dan's writing a book. Dan Bilzerian.
He just told me you got
to
write one.
I've been talking to him. I've been talking to him on Instagram DMs. It is the most insane fucking process. It is, I started writing this book about 6 years ago. It is cathartic, therapeutic, painful. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of times where I was writing about a topic that I was discovering in myself as I went, and I didn't even realize that my keyboard were soaked with tears. I mean, soaked, like I was just draining out of my fucking face trying to, I mean, this book is everything. There's not a piece that's left out. There's nothing that where I was like, yo, I'm so ashamed of this moment that I can't put it in this book. It's everything. It's a visceral tale of the underbelly of the current opiate epidemic that exists in the United States, that more people have died from than World War II and Vietnam combined, that no one's talking about.
Yeah.
Where, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are dying. Like, look at the pandemic that is coronavirus, how it shut down the entire world. More people have died of opiate overdoses than the coronavirus
in the United States
over the past however many years. And really nobody's talking about it. And these are good fucking people, bro. These are good fucking people. These are fathers, mothers, basketball players who hurt their ankle, and Purdue Pharma said, yeah, take OxyContin. It's not addictive. It's not addictive. Go ahead, take it. And the doctor said, it's not addictive. Purdue told us it's not addictive. And they fell down this spiral into fucking heroin and died. You know what I'm saying? I get a call once every 2 weeks, once a month of another homie from Connecticut that dies. You know what I'm saying? The kid that died yesterday, a good friend, my boy Dante, one of the happiest kids, bro. I mean, I spent so many nights with him, so many good nights. He was an all-star basketball player, just loved life. And he's gone, you know, and he's in his late 20s. You know what I'm saying? And now it's like I get that call. It doesn't even stir up a reaction in me because I can't count anymore. I can't count how many moms I've hugged over 20-year-olds' bodies, you know what I'm saying, because of this epidemic, and had, you know, like the mom asking me why the fuck did this happen to my son? He's 23, he's 21, he's 22, he's 19. Like, I started going to those funerals when I was like 20, 22 years old, and it never stopped.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, it was a wild ride for me. I've had every, you know, crazy fucking, I've seen so much shit. It's all in the book. You know, I've seen everything you can imagine. I've been through every bodily injury. I've had bones rip off, you know, my fucking body. I'm completely damaged from the toes to my head. You know,
so what do you think? What do you think was your lowest point then? Because I remember you posted a picture and I was like, how long ago?
Exactly.
10 years.
It was.
I don't know if that was it for sure, but I
made
me think of that.
A picture of me bleeding.
Yeah, you had blood all over you.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck?
That
made me think of this question.
That was after I got clean and I got hit in the face with a bottle during a fight on Christmas Eve.
Lit.
That was Christmas Eve. And I had to go home after I got clean and tell my mom that I got hit in the face with a fucking bottle, bro. Fuck. I don't want to fucking start crying again. I'm gonna get through this one.
You got it.
My mom, in 2000, 10, I had been a drug addict for 8-9 years. You know what I'm saying? I was 26 years old, and I'd been doing heroin, Xanax, OxyContin. I had already seen, you know, so many of my good friends are either jailed, dead. I mean, this is the end. This is the end of this, of that part of the story. Like I'd seen everything. I was in the darkest place you could ever fucking imagine. I was living with rats. And
you said 26?
Yeah, I was 26 in 2010. Okay. And I got the opportunity to try crack cocaine in 2010 for the first time. And, I just didn't even give a fuck about life anymore. I didn't give a shit, dude. My life was meaningless. I had nobody left. My family was all there, but they couldn't talk to me because I just heard them time after time. But my mom always stuck around. And in 2010, her father, who was like her hero, World War II vet, you know, Okinawa, Japan, just like the real fucking deal. He was dying of Parkinson's.
Fuck. That's such and a shitty disease.
Yeah, he had Parkinson's, dementia. He didn't know, you know, where he was. All his friends were gone. It was just terrible situation. And she couldn't afford to put him in a home. He was going to lose his house, and the state was going to take everything. And I convinced her that I was strong enough to take care of him. And I was, and for 4 years I took care of him. And well, he had Parkinson's and had, you know, these insane fucking attacks of hallucinations and seeing things that weren't there, and you know, shitting on the like just the most terrible fucking things. The way I watched my grandfather go out of this world was absolutely horrifying, and I watched it for 4 years, day in and day out. And in the beginning of it, I was still struggling very much with my addiction. And there was a day where he was downstairs in his recliner, calling for me to come down and help him because he was stuck in his recliner, and I was upstairs smoking crack. And I was too paranoid to help him. And, I was just, there's just no shame like that. You know what I'm saying? Like there's no way for me to explain what that felt like. You know what I'm saying? And, and you know, That was just the lowest point of my life. You know what I'm saying? And that was only about 3 or 4 months before I got clean. And then, you know, obviously everything that you see now is a result of getting clean. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, like I said, I don't want to talk about this shit. I don't want to talk about this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like everything in me wants to lock this shit away and never talk about it. But when I have a kid that's 17 years old DM me from Wyoming and says, yo, I've been shooting heroin for 3 years and I don't want to live anymore. And I started watching your content and hearing you talk about your mental illness and your anxiety and the fact that you made it out of the shitty situation that you were in to become someone that I watch and that I aspire to be and that I'm proud to watch and enjoy your story.
That's all life's about.
It made me stop shooting heroin. It took one person to tell me that.
Yeah.
And now it's thousands of people.
Yeah.
I can't stop the fucking DMs of people that are just like, yo, your story has inspired me to stay alive. And so like, yo, I don't want to talk about this. I'd rather talk to you about the fact that I have a fucking dope ass girlfriend or like that my friend's Logan Paul. And like,
but this is what's needed, man.
Yo, like, but like, honestly, like,
this is 100% what's needed. Yeah. Like this is the same thing that not in relationship to drug abuse, but my story with my father. I got so, because I used to share a lot more of it, and I started, even when I started the podcast, I did more of it as well in the beginning, and that was what I got the biggest response to. Fuck all the like the lifting shit and the cool shit I was able to do. Like that was cool, would get people in, but the things that people really need the most is shit like this, man.
Facts.
So like, I know you say you don't want to talk about it. You say like you'd rather talk about obviously your girlfriend and the good things in life. But bro, this is like, this is why I guarantee you have the success you have.
Yeah.
Yes, you're entertaining. You're a great fucking, you're a big fucking personality. You're funny. You're fucking smart. You got a ton of other great things.
Yeah.
But the reason why people stick with you, I guarantee, is because of this.
100%. And it's just, and I think like the bigger picture of it is because of course I'm looking for balance. Like I want to entertain people. I want to tell jokes. I want people that, because that's another thing that I've found is that that's another way for me to get people that are depressed or anxious out of their feelings is by making them laugh. There's, you know, so what I'm saying? And so I love, and so I love doing that. But like the biggest thing, the biggest struggle I've dealt with in this city so far has been this misconception from the public that they think they have things figured out about us. You know what I'm saying? Or by the way, this misconception that we have things figured out.
Fuck.
You know what I'm saying?
Yo, like, so much like,
yo, honestly, like, yo, I don't, I wake up every day and I'm like, yo, what the fuck is good? You know what I'm saying? Like, what am I doing, dude? Like, I hope I'm doing the right thing. Like, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? I'm just like everybody watching this shit. You know what I'm saying? And like, I truly believe that. I don't just say it. I don't just say it. When I'm out in the streets or at an event, I love, my favorite thing is spending 2, 3, 4 hours talking to the people. Do you remember Challenger Games? Do you remember that shit?
Yeah, of course.
After that shit ended and everybody went to that tent to have the hot dogs and burgers and party and like take shots and shit, I just stood in the field and just chilled with the fucking fans, bro. Because honestly, this is not a fucking like hoorah statement like, wow, he's so relatable. This is not that. Nothing makes me happier or like feel more like I'm a normal person than sitting and talking to like the person at the bus stop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or like talking to like the late,
simple
like,
shit.
Bro, I don't know why, I just enjoy it so much. I literally get like, it gives me the biggest feeling of just like, yo, like.
Well, cause I think you understand what actually matters. You said it earlier, like making money and shit is cool. Cause you've done it. You have it. You didn't have it. I can completely relate to that. I understand that. I didn't have it. I had it. I used to think it was everything. I have it. I realize it's cool because you could fucking do more things. You have more time to fucking put somewhere else maybe because you don't have to work on trying to get the money. Granted, don't get me wrong. Like, this shit is a ton of fucking work, all the stuff that we do making content. I think there's a big misconception on it. But once you have it, you realize like, oh, I thought I was going to be happy with all this shit. And then you realize like, your happiness is increased a little bit because you have more time, but it doesn't make you fucking happy.
No,
the things that have made me most happy is exactly what you were saying earlier. Getting the messages about someone saying you saved my life. That's the shit that fulfills
me,
bro.
Well, a note on that too is that goes back to like different strokes for different folks too.
Yeah.
Because I knew, dude, the day I got in this city, I identified within a month of living here and operating in this space who I fucked with immediately, bro. It was the fastest fucking thing, dude. Some I was wrong on some, but I liked Logan. I had spent time talking to him. Yeah. I knew him deep down. I knew he was a warm hearted, deep down. Cause he's, bro, he had a chachi ass fucking demeanor at one point. He was not super likable. He wasn't, it's just how he was. 2017, like he was on top of the fucking world. Yeah. His ego was out of his mind. But I met him and found out who he was as a person.
Yeah.
Smart as fuck, driven, down to earth, cared about people. And so I knew I fucked with him. And then I came here and I started meeting people. I met you.
Yeah.
And I met Banks. And I met Adam 22.
Fucking.
And I said, yo, I fuck with these people.
Yeah.
And I look what is the one thing that all of the people have? And it's just authenticity, dude. It's just, I really enjoy real people that aren't scared to talk about their shortcomings, that aren't scared that are just real. Like, there's no script with you. There's no script with Banks. He may have slid into it a couple times, but that, like, Banks, dude, me and that kid have had a relationship that is incredible. Like, I love that Banks kid. That dude's my fucking homie. And I know a lot of people have their things to say about him, and they have their, once again, their misconceptions based on what they've seen on the internet and the Alyssa, all that bullshit. Right, but like, he's from the East Coast. He's from like a similar neighborhood as me. And that kid's like my homie. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I love that kid. And I'll always ride for that dude as well. But like, I knew as soon as I got here, I was like, yo, these are the people that can relate to that. Yo, like, I just want to be like, I want to do something real. You know what I'm saying? Like, I told you, you can't force me to care about the James Charles palette.
No.
You can't force me to care about the Addison Rae dance moves.
Yeah.
I love it. And I'm so proud of them for building something. But unfortunately, like, it's just not my vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the thing that I love, man.
Like, and I'm older too.
Right.
That's another. And that's how old are you? 35.
I'm about to be 31.
That's what I'm saying.
So here's the deal. Like, I noticed.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Right.
I think it's where you come from, what you've been through.
Yeah.
But I do know, like, even right now we're doing this podcast and we're talking. Like, it sounds cool because we're on these headphones and shit. Yeah. But guarantee this, if we sat and we sat somewhere and had none of this shit on, we'd have the same conversation. Oh, if facts. We were trying to have this conversation.
Yeah.
Like, when we went outside and he was dealing with his moment of anxiety, it's pretty much the same thing we came back and talked about. Like, but there was almost like no break in how we
that's
were thinking.
That's it.
That's what it is.
That's exactly. So sorry. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's who are these people that I can identify that are no different on camera and off camera.
Right.
And that's the only thing I ever aspired.
And that's exactly how you are.
Bro, that's all I ever aspired to be. That's all I ever aspired to be. All what you see from me is exactly what you get.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I ever wanted to be. And all I ever wanted to do was just ride for my team, which has and will be Maverick. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I've done a lot of shit for myself, but Logan, as I've said in the past and a million times today already, is the homie and has taken care of me. And I'll always contribute to that camp. Always.
Yeah.
And just like live a life where, yeah, like I want to help people. You know what I'm saying? I want people to gain some sort of inspiration from my story.
So let's talk about this real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about the fact that, I don't know, over the last, what is the last 3 months, four months, you fucking exploded on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, I look at your page and I'm like, this, like, I swear, I thought I looked at it like 2 weeks ago and you had 500,000 subscribers. Now you have a million.
It's weird. And everybody's like,
and you're getting fucking views.
Crazy.
Bro.
It's like, crazy, bro. 6, 5, 6, 7. Like, and like, it's just every video too.
It's insane.
And listen.
Congrats, by the way.
No. And thank you. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say something. Thank you, Lana Rhodes. Thank you, Lana Rhodes. Lit. I'm not gonna half-ass around it. The guys out there want to see what is this girl like outside of the shit I've seen from her.
Right, can't blame it.
But let's also not get it twisted. You know what I'm saying? I had videos with a million views on it before she came along. You know what I'm saying? Where I was out hanging out with the rest of Hollywood, doing my shit. I'm a fucking entertainer. I know that I have what it takes to do that.
Of course.
But that said, yes, thank you, Lana Rhodes. Like, I appreciate you.
No, bro, I love it. I love it. But you, bro, before Lana, man, like, you always had a big fucking personality.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what always, that's what kind of like.
That's what got her. You know what I'm saying? Like, Logan, he introduced me to her in a 1 second video, but no one knows the background of how it all came to be. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just like any other.
I got to ask. So was it like you met her and it was like on camera and it was cute and then it was like, were you like, yo, give me your number? Or like,
nah,
how did this...
so we met on camera.
Did you slide the DMs later?
Nah, none of that. No, we met on camera on the vlog. And then the next day, we went out to a birthday. It was either that night or the next day we went out to a dinner for my birthday. And that night, we were at Tao. And honestly, fuck, dude. Like, I kind of want to... I'm trying to think, like, how crazy I want to go right now with, like, shit. Because even though what you see is what you get with me on camera... I don't always show you everything. And so what I'm saying is real, but like, I never know how far I want to get, but I had this like little thing going on with another, I've had a bunch of different things going on with like different adult girls.
Got it.
And I had another thing going on and she, and that.
Wait, you said adult girls, like other adult industry girls.
Yeah.
Got it.
And one of those girls came to the dinner as well. And it was never, me and her never had like a relationship. Like we weren't like me and Lana. You know what I'm saying? Like me and Lana have a real relationship.
Like,
but
you guys just fucked.
We fucked.
That's fine.
But she came to the dinner, and so it was this really awkward situation where Banks was there, and this girl was there, and me, Lana, Riley, Logan. It was this weird, like, Tao dinner. And I was sitting next to Lana. I purposely, like, sat next to her because I was enamored by her. Like, I was like, yo, this girl's so fucking beautiful, and she's so cool. Like, she was such a dope down-to-earth girl. And we hung out. We went to the club after that, and she hates the clubs. She doesn't like going out. She doesn't want to see people. All she cares about is work. That's it. And... slowly but surely, we started texting, we hung out, and then it came time for Jake Paul to fight in Miami, and I was like, yo, do you want to roll to Miami on like the private
jet? So that's when it really started.
And that's when it kind of like, that's when it kind of
took off. I thought you guys were dating before that, because when I saw it, because we were on the private jet together.
Yeah.
I thought you were fully dating before that, because when you guys got on the jet, it looked like you guys were already fucking dating.
Between all of us, like... We rushed into things. And like a lot of it was like, yo, this girl, it's so weird to say it. And like to say it in like just a chill setting, like outside of the shit you've seen from her or people have seen from her, like on videos, she's not out there fucking. She's not like the normal porn star or the normal LA girl.
Yeah.
She's been married. She's been married for the past fucking two or three years, and she's been out of the game, and she's been off the fucking map living in Chicago.
She's not married now, though. Oh, fuck. This is like a... Oh, my God. This is so deep. It's so deep, shit.
Bro, and that's the other thing. I can never even get into, like, half of it, bro.
My bad.
No. It's fine. This is all known shit. Like, they're separated.
Got it.
They're, like, legally separated or whatever. And so, yeah, so we hit it off, but she was like, crazy. She was, like, enamored. And she'll tell the other story that, like, I was, like, really after her. And, like, we'll both play that kind of cool card. But, yo, we fucked with each other. Like, we fucked with each other.
Obviously, you guys are together.
Yeah, and I thought she was so beautiful. I thought she was so cool. And I was more than willing to overlook her past. She was more than willing to overlook my fucked up past and my fuckboy days, which, as you know, probably better than most, were aplenty in this city.
Fucked.
And so, she was willing to, like, overlook that shit. And things were good. Like, we were just kind of getting to know each other. But it was also my first relationship in almost 10 years. Like,
and not to mention on the internet.
And on the internet in front of everyone to see. And so I struggled with it a little bit. And even when she was telling me, yo, I want this to be something. I want this to be exclusive. Like, I really do like you as a person. I want to be with you and shit like that. I was saying it, but it was so early in the relationship that I wasn't meaning it.
I see.
And that's how we ran into the scandal that happened with the girl in New York that I'm not going to talk too much about today. But, and that was obviously, like, a huge issue. But we bounced back from it. I've been
so that actually happened though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've been completely like enamored with her. I mean, she's absolutely incredible.
So when we were
bro.
On the plane, you weren't like official.
Nah. Cuz
I know
because we were just in that honeymoon period where it was just like everything was so like new. And,
oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Cuz I saw you guys on the plane. I was like, oh, they've been dating for a while.
Nah, at that point it was still like open. Like, she was talking to me about like, yo, we could have threesomes if you want, like all this shit. And then slowly but surely it like locked down into a situation where we were like, oh, it was just me and her.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, I've never trusted a girl as much as I trust that girl. Like, she's dealt with a lot of mental, illness and a lot of, problems from her past in shooting. It really ravaged her. She was not, there's a lot of girls out there that, and I don't want to speak on this too much for her because I don't want to misquote or anything like that or say something she's not, doesn't feel comfortable sharing. But I think there's a lot of girls out there that love doing porn and love doing adult work. She's not one of those girls. She didn't garner the same kind of enjoyment out of it that other people do. She looked at it surely as like a way to make money and to get big. And so she loves, like other girls, having a partner that she loves.
Yeah.
And that's who she wants to be with. And so like, it's so weird because honestly, like, bro, there, I can say without a shadow of a doubt that there's no girl out there getting DMs from the kind of dudes that she gets DMs from. I mean, bro.
I believe you. Who's?
I wish I could just go off right now and just call out like 18 different rappers, bro. Soccer players worth hundreds, of, crazy. And then there's little old me.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
No, not at all, though. I mean, I don't know. He could. Probably. But I've never seen. Because she'll show me. That's the difference about
Who's
her.
The biggest name that you saw?
No fucking way. I'm not doing it.
I had Kinsey on here the other day. I tried to ask her about who been in her DMs.
Who?
Kinsey.
Oh, yeah. No, bro. It's wild. I mean, I'm talking like your A-list rappers, your A-list soccer players. You're
talking about Drake?
I'm not going to say any names today, bro. But it's wild. It's wild. And so I'm just... And so
he tried to slide in there?
But like, whereas like other girls would either open it, even in a relationship, other girls might open it or respond back.
Of course.
She shows me. She's like, yo, look at this. And then she deletes it in front of me.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's like trying to navigate relationships in this entertainment space is so fucked.
Ooh.
But like, it's just, she's been incredible, bro. And she's so supportive. Like, as soon as this shit happened with Logan, I've been at her house and, you know, she'll like cook food for me.
You guys don't have any like
none,
no beef.
No, I mean, she'll get mad occasionally, about girls that DM me.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like other adult stars, because that's like her, like she's got some enemies in that space.
I got it.
And like other like Instagram girls that are like bigger ones, like if that happens. But I'm not answering those either. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not responding to any bitches or like talking.
So you're really, you're really like here for this for real.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't, like I said, like it's tough because of the city we're in and like the space we're in. And so like, I don't want to, you know, be like, yo, expect a kid tomorrow or some shit. But like, I mean, I fuck with her. I fuck with her heavily. She's a great person. And so like, no matter what happens, you know, between us, like she's going to crush it. That girl's a hustler, bro.
Yeah.
Like just, she'll just be like, yo, I want a Lambo today. And I'm like, babe, please don't buy a Lambo. And she just pulls up in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, she'll just go buy a Lambo. She buys houses. Like, she fucking cakes, bro. And that's been another...
Is it the OnlyFans shit or what?
Yeah, OnlyFans. Like, she was doing private Snapchat. She was making, like, crazy money monthly on that shit. And it's just like, that OnlyFans grind is crazy.
I know. Trust me. I've heard about it.
That shit's crazy, bro.
I'm like, that...
You about to start one, maybe?
Fuck, dog. I mean, it's like... It's so crazy. I mean, I would need a girl, you know?
She's been trying to get me to...
We talked about this briefly. I didn't know if you want to bring it up, but I want to ask you about it.
Yeah, she's been trying to get me to...
To do it.
To do OnlyFans.
Because that shit would... With her. Big!
She'd make a $500,000 a month. If
I'm not surprised.
If not more off
I'm,
it.
I'm not surprised.
And I'm like, I asked her today, I'm like, let's be honest. I'm like, what's my fucking cut?
What's my cut? You got to talk about
she's
that.
She's like... Motherfucker, you ain't getting shit. She's like, you know what your dick means to OnlyFans if it isn't for this shit. I'm like, dude, nothing. But she's fucking with me. She like if we like came up to some sort of agreement, she would.
You gotta get something.
I don't know that I could do it, bro.
Yeah, this is the question I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
But if you did it, you have to get something to put your dick in there because now you're putting your whole. That's now you're a porn. You're doing
yeah,
porn.
Yeah, I'm a porn star. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. And I don't know if I.
Especially because she wasn't just an OnlyFans person. She was a real porn star.
Oh, the real deal.
So it's like, if you went and did that, now you're a porn star.
Facts. Yeah, so, she was the real deal. I mean, yeah, she had true work.
So.
it's all sorry. Like, imagine me. At my grandfather's attic,
this is
smoking crack in 2010 in Milford, Connecticut. Shout out Milford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Thinking to myself, I'm going to be sitting on a podcast in LA talking about if I want to do porn with the number one porn star in the entire
it's
world.
It's fucking insane.
Bro, life makes no sense.
It's crazy.
Life makes
it's
no
sick,
sense.
Though. It's so dope. It's so dope.
It's so dope. So dope. But that's why I don't try to ever plan shit. Like if you ask me right now and you're like, if you ask me today, and this is another gift and a curse. If you ask me today, you're like, yo, what are your goals right now? I have none.
Yeah,
I haven't had a goal in my entire life. I've never had a fucking goal in my... And this is so bad. Please, if you're watching this, do not adapt this style. Unless you want to. If you want to... I'm a wild...
It might already be a part of you.
It's a part of me.
Yeah.
I'm a wild soul, and I got so used to, yo, is tomorrow coming? I don't know. Let's live for today. You know what I'm saying?
But the crazy part about that, man, like, that's how you get things done, though.
It's weird.
That's the thing. Like, don't get me wrong, like... Because this reminds me back, this takes me so far back to when I was a kid and they used to be like, you got to write in the planner. You got to write in this planner for like the homework and shit for the week.
Yeah.
And I used to fucking hate it. I would be like, I just never did it. And my whole life has been very similar to like, not that I didn't have things I wanted to achieve, but it was like, it was so hard for me to be like, okay, I'm going to do this and do this and do this. I just tried to work every day,
right.
Do something every day
right.
And try to, and like I said, try to be as much in the moment as I could despite everything else. It was like, but that's the crazy thing is, people listen. I'm not saying go and like fuck all your plans and your goals. You have to have a goal, like a big, like a big wide view. Wide view. But like your day to day, you should be doing something every day to get closer to like one of those things or the bigger picture.
Something
like,
working on yourself, and that's good advice too to people out there that are like lost, like because there's a lot of people on social media that speak in these like niche spots of like, yo, you've made $1 million. Here's how you get to 50. And there's a lot of people that talk about like, yo, you got a degree in this. Here's how you become the perfect entrepreneur. The voice I want to be on social media is, yo, you haven't left your room in 3 weeks because you're so scared of going out in public because you have fucking stinging anxiety and depression and fucking manic disorder. Here's what you can do today to be better than you were the day before. Yeah. That's the fucking voice something. I want to be, bro.
Yeah.
Just anything. Do something for me. And I know you could relate to this more than anybody probably. Exercise has been a huge part of it.
Oh, my God. It's been all of it.
Yeah.
My whole life. If I can look back, my entire life, it had been closely connected to working out. And everyone that I met throughout the gym, through my whole life, has been like the conversations that I... Like how we're having this conversation now about life. And we've had conversations in the past, not in this detail. But like those conversations that I would have with other people in my life before I became like this person on social media to have this opportunity with you... I just had with people in the gym.
Yeah,
and I would talk about where I was at in life, how I felt, my anxiety, what's making me feeling better. Like, and then I was working out, and it was just all therapeutic. Like, working out itself is therapeutic. And because, like, when I'm doing it, other shit tends to fade away because I have to focus on what I'm doing literally in the moment. And that's what we're talking about, being in the moment.
Staying in the moment.
And then also all the people that I met throughout and had conversations with, like, helped me to tailor my life positively all the way, like, moving up till now. So it's like, that's the thing that I keep learning. You got to have a plan, yeah, but it's got to be like this macro vision, and you have to be like everyday work, like trying to be in the moment, because that's when you're truly successful. If you're able to sit in the moment and be like, we're having this conversation and this is what matters most.
Right.
So then when the people see this or hear this, because this is what we're doing, it's actually real. It's genuine. This is what we're really talking about. There's no cuts. There's no edits. There's no like, we need to start this conversation over again. Say that again. Ask me that question.
We did have to do that.
But that's because you had the anxiety. That was a real thing. We had to leave. We were just going to leave fucking dead space. Yeah. But this conversation is us literally speaking about how we really feel in the moment.
Yeah.
And that's what's most, that's what I could say made me most successful in my life.
Yeah.
Without a fucking doubt.
It's so funny. Cause like when you ask me to do this, dude, it's like, it goes back to that thing where I was just talking before about like the people that I really fuck with in the city. I've gotten asked to do like a shit ton of podcasts.
Well, cause you're fucking great at it.
It's my thing. Like I love talking, just like being on podcasts and shit. And, it's funny because like over the past few months, I've only done two. I did yours and Banks. That's it.
Let's go.
Oh, and Adams.
Let's go.
And I guess like,
no, it's,
I'm like, no, I was going to hit on something. I'm like, I'm a work in progress, bro. And I think everybody out there is, but like, I've been taking some heat, like on social over the past, you know, month or so, ever since once I started getting big,
the heat
turned up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you touched on this in the gym.
Yeah. And, once you start to get into that 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 million range on YouTube, motherfuckers are just trying to mow you
down.
Gunning. You know, they're gunning. Yeah. And obviously like, I'm not responding to 99% of them because Logan taught me early. He's like, yo, you respond to people that get less views than you. You're winning for them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of people out there. They're making like hour long videos on why Mike is a fucking, you know, unloyal scumbag or whatever. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, yo, if I respond to this dude, he's going to go from 14,000 views to 200, 800, whatever thousand views. And I'm going to fucking lose. So I spend most of my time not responding, but I want to talk to you about it a little bit today. You know, it's been a lot. It's never fun when that kind of shit happens.
What do you see the most, right? What's like, what? Hate wise, negative
wise. It's a lot of, it's not, well, there's a lot of it has to do with Lana. There's a lot about Lana.
They're mad that you're fucking dating Lana?
Some are, but they'll disguise it in, yo, you're fucking disgusting, bro. You know how many dicks she's like that kind of stuff. And like, very nasty. Like they'll say like really nasty shit. And as I said too, I don't have to answer to them. I'm happy. I love, the girl's dope as fuck. And she, and by the way, she doesn't do that now. And I think that's been another thing that's helped me with it is just because she's like out of the game. But like, so I've dealt with like some of that stuff. That stuff's easier to write off. But then I've had some people that have made like character notes on like my ego. Mm. And so like, that's been something that I've just been trying to like understand, like what statements am I making? What, how am I acting? That's giving people the, idea that I'm losing track of who I am as a person. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And so like, there's a lot of things and you don't know how much do you want to pay attention to them. Listen,
right.
I have had an ego my entire life. I think everybody does to an extent.
100%.
When I sold my first bag of weed when I was 14, my head started getting bigger and it never really stopped. I always have tried to walk the line between confidence and cockiness. Like I don't want to be cocky, but I also know on a lot of aspects that I kind of have a right to be on certain things. And I think that I don't think people should be scared to be extreme.
Really interesting topic.
It's scary though because I don't want to come off wrong.
No, it's fine.
And I take those notes and I want to make sure that I stay in check. But also at the same time, like if you're watching this show and you're the best in your field,
own that shit. Yeah, I feel it.
Stay humble. Listen, as I said earlier, fan comes up to me. That person is right here with me. Person on the park bench. Person OD'ing on heroin, whatever the fuck, that me and that person are exactly the same. I will sit on the ground with them. I will talk to them. There's no difference between me and that person. But I guess like I've seen some comments about people saying that like certain things. I haven't noticed it that much. But if anything, it's a good note to get so that it's at top of mind so you don't get there. Like even if I'm not currently, you're always thinking about like how can I try to stay like humble with all this shit that's going on.
It's crazy though, man. This reminds me when I first competed. I did fitness competition. So when I first competed, I remember the very first show I did. It was the very first time they ever had this thing called Men's Physique, which is where it's not bodybuilding, but you wear like board shorts. And that was one of the first shows in 2011.
Yeah.
And I competed. My first show, I got eighth place out of like nine people. Because someone told me, you should do this thing. It's new. I was like, okay. I just showed up, like got a spray tan, like ate pizza the night before and put on some board shorts. Got eighth place.
Nice.
Then I saw who wins and I'm like, oh shit, that's what I got to do. Next show, I win first and overall. So I win the whole show.
Right.
And then I was like, this had to be me at like 22. And then I'm going against other competitors now. It's a very small group of people because it's not a lot of people doing these competitions.
Right.
And I was the kind of person who would be like, oh, I'm going to win this next show. And I would tell people. And then I would hear that people would be like, oh, Brad's a douchebag. He thinks he's the best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I remember thinking like, wait, but like, I came from a sports background. It's like, wait, we're competing.
Right.
I'm not supposed to be like, hey, we're all looking really good. They can all look amazing, but like I still have to feel like I can be the best to be the best.
Right.
I think that's what people fail, like when this whole confidence and cocky thing is like, it's different to be like, yo, I'm better than you. Like I'm going to be better than you.
Right.
But it's and then saying like, or saying like, oh, I'm going to be my fucking best. I'm going to be the best. I think those are the things when people, and it's a lot of times it's up to interpretation of the people listening. Sometimes they'll just hear it as like, oh, that guy thinks he's better than me.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, I know that I do need to feel like I am my best version to be my best version to be able to continue to be better. So it's like, it's kind of like, what are you hearing? And what are people willing to hear?
It's so it's so tricky. And also like, it's been a lesson for me. Like your sport was these competitions. My sport is very much the podcast realm. Yeah. And so when I go sit down and I offer thoughts or feedback on a certain topic, that there are sometimes younger people or people out there that can't relate that see me and say that I'm like rambling about shit I don't know about. I'm talking about shit that I do know about. I talk about shit and the stuff I talk about comes from a place of having lived it. I'm 35 and I've lived through 10 fucking lifetimes on this planet. Literally. You know what I'm saying? And so when I think it's sometimes my confidence in how I say things that could be potentially argued as opinions that gets people to be like, yo, this kid has like an ego or this kid thinks he knows better than so-and-so. But I mean, listen, I'm not even saying people are wrong. Like it's just something that I've been, so it's something that I'm like working on.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, and that's the biggest step. Like it is just, is being aware, you know what I'm saying? And so like that, but like the shit with Lana and like, you know, obviously now with this new, with Shrimp Gate 2020, you know, that's been like an interesting shit too.
How long do you think it's going to take till you get back?
I'm meeting with him tomorrow.
Okay.
And we're going to have a conversation about, what went wrong and like how it could have gone differently.
That sounds good then.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been talking.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and so, everything's going to be fine, but, it's,
I think that's what this is all about though, is the awareness. The awareness of yourself.
That's a big thing, bro.
Awareness of like what you're putting out there, how someone might perceive it. Cause that's the thing I realized a long time ago when I got fired from 24 Hour Fitness back in the fucking day when I was like 21, I think. My perception of who I was to everyone else is different than what the perception of they had of me. That's it. It's so big.
It's been such a big lesson for me. And like these lessons that I've been getting as a result of, negative things, which is so important. Like think about that for a second. It's always a negative thing that happens that produces a lesson for you. And so like coming, right. And so like this, being kicked out of the house thing, or like, you know, Logan saying like, why don't we take a little bit of space? I've learned so much about what happened and I've been ruminating on it, but it's produced some really good learnings, like expectation setting and not expecting people to think the same way as you. And another one that I've learned, which you just stated was unfortunately, because of interpretation, a difference between what you are trying to get people to perceive from something you say and what people actually perceive 100%. From what you say.
Yeah.
And a lot of that comes down to how you say it and your delivery and stuff like that. But it's just been such a learning lesson for me to try to figure out, like, how do I get these thoughts up here that are high level and really valuable fucking life lessons and thoughts on business and how to succeed and how to get into dark places in your life and try to put them into a package that is digestible by every single person that watches.
Yeah.
And then one other thing on that quickly too is another lesson I've learned over the past couple of weeks was not everybody is going to want to or like to digest the content you're putting out.
This is all what it comes down to right here. This is all comes down to this timing in someone's life and what they've been through, what they've learned on their own.
Yeah.
Like the thing is, like, you could have it exactly like you could have it all figured out for you and your opinion on something. And then someone's going to hear it, but based on where they're at in their life and what they've been through, what they've learned to that point, their age, how, all this shit has
so many factors.
Where they're from, their childhood, all this shit has to do with how they receive that message. So I think the best way when you're talking about giving messages to people, and this is just my fucking opinion on this, is if you're sharing something from a place of genuine within you, like how you do and how
always,
you speak,
always.
That's number one. And then number two is understanding, like, when I lend my opinion, at the same time I try to lend an opinion, I try and lend a personal, like, reference point in my life why I have that opinion. It's hard sometimes because, like, you can't put it all really, like, close and neat. And I notice it's funny because part of your anxiety earlier, I don't know if you noticed this or not, was like, when you dipped, you were like, because you were like telling the story and you're like, oh shit, I need to take this moment.
Yeah.
And then it was almost like you were outside concerned with the way in which you were going to tell the story, like its conciseness, how concise it was going to be.
That's true. So that's been a, sorry, I want to let you.
No, go, no. So what I'm saying is, like, I'm not trying to fucking dissect you. I don't know you well enough.
It's a good point, but that's been that now has been a side effect of Impulsive and of Logan. So Logan's style and Logan's delivery style is immediate and quick and concise, succinct, brevity. He wants to get you a message in 1 second, or his vlogs are 4 minutes, you know, whatever, right? It all has to happen very quick. And one of the things I've tried to tell him, and that some of the fans of Impulsive that aren't big fans of me, is that that's not the podcast setting.
No,
the podcast setting is this,
right?
Kicking it, having a conversation, talking authentically.
I see what he's trying
heart.
To do though, because
me too.
His initial audience when he started that, which I think is much different now, because he has older. There's a much more diverse demographic watching that.
Yeah.
When it started, I think it needed that.
Oh yeah.
Because that's his majority of his demographic was younger, probably trying to get information right now.
Yeah.
But now I know it's way different.
It's so funny, dude.
I think this is no diss at all to Logan. I think you brought a lot of that to that podcast. I think you brought a lot of older audience to that podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, of course. I mean, it's funny because this has been another, you know, me and him have had a bunch of riffs back and forth on the style of the show, how we want the show to be, what we want it to be like.
In meetings and shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in meetings, like not on the show.
Not
but
on
like
the show.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll meet afterwards and talk, and we've gotten some heated shit which creatively, like, we've got two creative people. Like,
it's fucking
I think
good.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people out there who think, like, this is Logan's show and Mike's on it. Logan has been very collaborative with me. It's been our show since day one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And there was always this thought in his mind, which was, I wonder, in both of our minds, I wonder what the fans are going to do if Mike isn't on the show. Because their fans have been vocal on both sides. Mike talks too much. He hijacks the show. He interrupts the guests. He thinks he knows best. He's got a big ego. Other side, Mike's been through a bunch of shit. I love listening to him. He's inspirational. He's aspirational. I could relate to him. I could see what he's saying. He tells fun. He has fun. The funniest jokes. He keeps the energy high.
Yeah.
You've got these warring factions of fans on the show. And so the question was always, yo, what's going to happen? And once I wasn't on the show for 2 days, the first show was very much like, wow, this is like kind of a nice breather. It's a different pace. But then on the second show, I think you saw a lot more of those fans of mine activating, like, yo, this is not what we signed up for. Like, we love you two together.
Yeah.
Like, the energy you two bring together is like on some like Abbott and Costello type shit. Like, you two make each other better. You make each other smarter. And so it's been an interesting situation to be able to step back and see what happens when I'm not there and to see where I could, what I do add to the show. And, you know, me and him will continue to, you know, try to creatively find a way to make that the best show possible. And I am a work in progress. He's been on camera a lot longer than me. He knows about give and take better than me. There's a lot of aspects to the show that he is better than me on. He's a great host. He's the great main host of the show. But I'm a work in progress. I've interrupted a lot of people in the past. I think I've done a lot better on that. I also get a lot of
those comments.
They're still there.
Yeah.
They're still there. But I think it's so funny because if you get the audience in the habit of leaving a certain comment by one of your actions, even if that action stops, that comment continues. I stopped interrupting people 30 episodes ago.
Yeah. Like the drug dealer comment that I have.
Yes, exactly. Bradley Martin, because of Steve Will Do It and because of the Nelk Boys, Bradley Martin will be a drug dealer for the next 20 years.
And I've never sold a drug in your life.
That comment will continue. And so it's Mike only talks about Lana and heroin. Some of the people say,
right.
You know who brings up Lana? Not me. Logan. He wants to find out what's going on with your relationship. I don't bring it up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's very similar to this podcast. If it gets brought up, I'll talk about it.
Of course.
If somebody brings up heroin addiction, I'll talk about it. But like all that stuff, all those interruptions, that shit ended 30 fucking episodes ago. But the detractors and the people that don't like me will continue to talk on it. And so like one of the biggest lesson that I've gotten, this whole episode has been kind of like this here with me and you has been like me talking about what I've learned kind of over the past two weeks.
I fucking love it.
The biggest lesson I learned that goes hand in hand with you can't please everybody. Different strokes for different folks. Some people are going to like you. Some people are going to fucking hate you.
Yeah.
The biggest lesson I've learned is to not get too caught up in that ongoing struggle of online sentiment. There are so many young creators out there. And I know I said I don't care too much for the content of Addison or James or like any of those people, but I do care about them as people. Charlie D'Amelio is from Connecticut, from Greenwich. She's not too far from where I grew up. And she's been very vocal about her struggles with depression and anxiety brought on by comments from fans and hateful comments from fans. And over the past 2 weeks, I've fallen into a pit, bro. I have been reading all of it. Even over the past 2 months since I started dating Lana, because I got so caught up in what people were saying. And I think one of the biggest lessons for me is like, yo, know who you are.
Yeah.
Know who you are. Be rooted in who you are. I can say this without a shadow of a fucking doubt as I sit here today. I am a genuine, authentic, loyal, good-hearted person. And no one, no online comment, no Twitter comment, no impulsive YouTube sentiment can take that from me.
Yeah.
Ever. And I think that would be my one lesson to every young creator out there who's just starting to get 5, 10, 15,000 comments a day.
Yeah.
Know who you are.
I fucking
know yourself.
I can relate to that so hard. There was a moment in my fitness history, filming content, making content, where I was kind of at the peak of like my growth on my fitness content.
Yeah.
And I had just recently dropped a video like hitting on girls in the gym. It's got millions of views.
Yeah.
And I had recently tried to, and I never really talked about this. And this is something that I learned. I let someone made a video about me completely slandering me online. Someone who was a business partner that the relationship turned sour.
Yep.
And there was other people involved who made this whole relationship basically go to shit. And then this person lied about me, said a bunch of shit like that I tried to deal with his girlfriend and all this shit that was just a lie. And it was blatant bullshit lies. And I was popular. I was more popular than this person at the time. So I decided I'm not going to say anything. And I read comments after comments. I'm this fucking snake. I'm this person. Yeah. All these people. And the biggest thing I learned, though, I fucked up because I didn't just do, I didn't do what I am and who I am. Just tell the fucking truth and just talk about it.
Yeah.
I tried to avoid the situation and it did way more damage to me. I lost 70,000 subscribers overnight.
From not
saying shit
it.
Because this person made a video. But I came from a point where I was like, wait, I've done so much good and I put so much good out there. All I did to that point was try to put out good content and I talked about my life, everything that I went through. everything. And this person made a video and just slandered the shit out of me. Just fucking lied. Bullshit fucking lies.
Yeah.
Talked, and this person had my number, could have came and said all this shit to my face, decided to put it on the internet for fucking views, and I avoided it. But that fucking just, it like, it fucked me so bad on the internet that like what you were saying about it affected you the last 2 weeks. This affected me for probably like a year and a half.
Yeah, wow.
The me wanting to make content or wanting to like being like almost like hurt that, wow, after everything that I'd done now that someone could say and just make some shit up. I realized this is what, I'm going to get to this point in a little bit, but I started to realize like what you said, and this is so much more power to this point. You have to just understand you cannot please everyone. And I struggled so hard trying to please everyone that like, bro, I'm talking about, imagine you lost 70,000 subscribers overnight.
Yeah, it sucks.
You just hit a million.
Yeah.
So you went from a million down past a million because you were like, oh, I'm a million. Then you went down and you had to hit a million again.
Yeah.
So, and this person, and as soon as they talk shit about me, because I was going, like I said, my videos was going viral. They're fucking, now they start growing. Now they start blowing up. Right. Now they're the good guy and I'm a fucking snake because someone lied about me. I never made a video and I never came back and said, this is what actually happened. I kind of came back and tried to apologize because I could notice this person was so hurt. And then I was like, why the fuck didn't I just be who I am and tell the fucking truth?
Yeah.
I tried to like avoid and like babysit the situation so that I wouldn't have to deal with it more. And instead it just made me deal with it way more. So what I'm saying to everyone listening is like, and if you're a content creator as well, if you want to be like, what, like you have to genuinely be yourself no matter what, because understanding the fact that you're not going to make everyone happy is so fucking important. But like the minute you stop being yourself, that's when people are like, oh, he is that person that someone saw. Cause like you said, once you start hitting the 5, 4, 6 million views, everyone's going to come for you.
Yeah.
And the minute you're not like, if you start to not know, like, cause this is what I'm trying to tell you in specifically, don't read all this shit and then change yourself. I know you're looking around. You're like, okay, where could I take note and inventory and become better? That's amazing.
Criticism.
But don't let it change who you are at your core.
Yeah.
Because who you are at your core after knowing you long enough and talking to you, having a conversation with you, like that's why people love you. That's why I love you as a friend. You're a good person and you're fucking real.
Yep.
Like, but the minute you don't show that because you're trying to like hide or avoid or change or like try to make everyone happy, that's when you fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And I look back on that moment. I'm like, why the fuck did I do that? That shit like stuck with me for fucking years, bro. Years.
That's crazy.
That person, like, it's after that moment, I was like, wow, I can't believe I let that happen to me. Yeah. I fucking can't believe that I allowed someone else to have like changed the way that I viewed myself, where like my almost like my content became different because I was hurt. And I was like, I don't really want to share shit. I don't want to like let this out because like no one gave a fuck. The minute that someone said some fake shit, it didn't matter. I was like, if I respond, because I'm like in my head, super analytical. I'm like, if I respond, everyone's just gonna be like, you're just saying that because he said that now. You're a bad guy.
Bro,
you're a fucking
is
this.
There any worse feeling in the world than having someone say something about you that is completely and utterly, and even in a lot of ways, proven to be untrue? But they have like a decent amount of clout.
Yeah, and they just listen.
That those people listen.
100%.
I've never had that feeling until I got here, where if someone's against you and they're able to rally a crowd. I mean, this is the whole cancel culture thing.
Yeah.
Too, but just on a microcosm of it for you or for me.
In the fitness industry, yeah.
In the fitness industry or in the YouTube industry. But it's crazy to imagine that like someone could just say something. And no one will do any digging. No one will look back and say, damn, like that kid's been riding with this motherfucker for 3 years now and has put his ass on the fucking pulpit to defend him.
It was so, I just want to say this, no, man. No, I was so pissed. I got him and his fucking girlfriend so much goddamn clout.
Fuck.
So much fucking clout. And I was fucking so nice. The craziest thing is, the whole time, right, this person was like fucking off doing whatever they were doing. Like they were having an issue in their relationship. I was trying to help. Like the conversation that I had with this person was,
bro,
like, don't worry,
about,
it's going to be okay. And then I got turned that I'm some fucking scumbag trying to fuck this person's girlfriend. I lost 70,000 subscribers overnight and this person got more popular.
Bro,
and now this person's a good guy.
What you're talking about right now?
It's, bro, imagine.
It's so close.
Imagine you're sitting at dinner with your videographer at the time, Kevin. Why is he fucking calling me? Fucking Snapchat.
Imagine it's the dude.
So, no, listen. Oh my God, that'd be amazing if this was live.
Or it's the dude's girl.
At this point, I would not care what came of this. If someone saw this, he saw us and said something, I'd be like, whatever. Cool, run. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
The damage has been done, right? Facts. Doesn't matter, right? And at this point, it's in the past. But imagine being at dinner with that girl and your videographer, and you like, I'm having this conversation with my buddy Kevin and the girl, and she's complaining about what he's doing, and she doesn't trust this and that. And I'm like, he's in Australia or whatever the fuck. I'm like, don't worry. Like, he's going to come back because we were homies.
Yeah.
We were fucking friends.
You were,
friends.
Like, having his back.
We were fucking friends, being like, don't worry, chill out. It's going to be okay. He's going to come back. Don't worry about it. And then all the shit going south, and then both of them just riding the fucking clout train.
You could hear that. Do you hear
riding the clout train, just choo, choo, choo. As soon as the shit hit the fan, no one came out and said, oh, the girl didn't come back and say, no, he never tried that. She just rode the fucking clout train all the way up.
Bro.
All the way up with names in the title, put my name in a fucking title. My shit was going viral. And then I had to turn around and be like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to be the bigger man. And then I got fucked. And then for 3 years, I was like, I don't know if I should make content like this anymore. I fucking just hurt. And then I'm like,
damn,
bro, that fucking wrecked me, dude. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, yo, if you want to get on the internet or just fuck it, just in the world in general, like, fucking be yourself no matter what.
That's it.
Authenticity
will win,
because
100% of the time.
You're going to fucking make mistakes. Own it. Talk about it. Like, I tried to avoid, like, even saying anything about the situation. Like, maybe I didn't know. Maybe I should have just never said any single word to this person whatsoever.
Yeah.
But it's like, I was like, I had so many receipts. I should have screenshotted all the shit of this dude talking about how he's cheating on with this fucking bitch. And he's showing me, like, I should have shed, like, because he tried to blame the relationship problem on me. I should have been like, yo, what about this?
Do you understand that what you're talking about to me right now
what?
Is so tightly ingrained to another situation that I'm currently going through?
I have no idea.
Where I tried to help somebody 100 times and they went out of their way to shit talk me behind my back, and like, this is one thing like I'm not getting into today, but that feeling of getting burned by someone that you've like gone out of your way to like try to do nice things for is the worst feeling in the entire fucking world.
Yeah.
It is the fuck. And then, I mean, with you at least, or with me at least, it's not gonna, like, there's no,
it's not
like,
on the
detriment
internet
to me. It is, but not, it's not, he's not like trying to be crazy about it. Like,
right.
a video about me of all this shit. With you, like, that's fucked, bro. That's fucked up.
Oh, I'm talking about, like, imagine going from hundreds of thousands of subscribers to, like, hundreds and hundreds of thousands more while I went hundreds of thousands less, and everything was like this, and then, look, I'm the good guy, and then I'm the fucking bad guy. And everything I'd done prior to that moment was good, and I did my best to try and help people.
That's why,
and
bro,
it's just everything switched like a fucking light. Imagine all the fucking comments I got on my Instagram talking about how I'm this and how I'm that, and I'm like, none of you motherfuckers ever were even there or saw what the fuck actually happened. Bro, you just took someone's fucking word because they fucking wanted to shit on me.
That's why whenever somebody talks about this city, and like even when we talk about it, I don't know if I wish this for people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really don't. And yo, listen, like, this is not me like trying to be like, oh my God, like anything about this life is fucking hard, because we've both seen fucking hard days. We've both seen dark days. I'm blessed as fuck to wake up in Beverly Hills and leave in a fucking Lambo if I want. Like, all this shit to the side is great. It's all fucking great. But there's a lot of pressure and a lot of fucking factors that people don't see.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of comments and a lot of sentiment and a lot of shit that happens on the internet from people that don't know even... It's not that they don't know the whole story. They don't know any of the story. Like, even as far as the impulsive fans go and why things happen the way they do on that show, they don't know what goes on before and after the show. They don't know requests that are made to me of keep the energy up. Yeah, we have to do this. We have to do that. They just assume that things are happening a certain way.
Right.
And they run away with it, bro. And so it's that misconception that people even have any clue of what's going on. I think when it comes to just one of us, when it comes to just knowing about your favorite creator, I think people can get a pretty good idea of who we are. But when it comes to trying to have an opinion about the relationship between your creator and another person, that's where shit gets fucked up. I tweeted this before I came in here today, and I'm sure we're getting close to wrapping up. I said, relying on your good intentions to keep you out of bullshit in life is similar to counting on your good driving to keep you out of car accidents. Your maneuvering can be flawless and some motherfucker will still T-bone you at one of life's little intersections. Yeah. Everybody wants to say, I'm the best driver. I can't get in an accident.
Right.
It's not about you.
Yep.
It's about the other fucker that's driving down the road like a moron that plows in you and kills people.
Yep.
And so I think a lot of people think they have our relationships or like my relationship with the other people figured out. And I think ours, mine and yours is a little bit easier to figure out because we've talked for three hours and people know we're just two down to earth, straightforward, real people. But just like, yo, people don't know. They don't know all the little factors and all the little intricacies that go into the relationships that exist in this city.
And I think it's clear for people listening too, like fuck us and people on the internet, just in your own life. Imagine how many situations you've been in when someone that doesn't really know you that well has a judgment on you. Just period. Like fuck the internet in life. Yeah. Like that's so common. Just on the internet, it's so exasperated because everyone can come and view and watch and click. And this is viral and so many people are here and everyone can have an opinion, but not know what's really going on. Just like someone could be in your life and be like, that person's talking, oh yeah, fuck you, because you do this and that, but they don't really know the situation.
Right.
So it's kind of like, that's the thing that I'm learning with that is like, yo, let me be good with this, however the fuck it is, and let me continue to be myself.
That's it.
And that's it. And try to be happy. And try to live in the moment. And try not to put so much pressure on what other people think, how they're going to think of me.
Yeah.
But you're smart though, man, with the trying to take the reconciliation, like trying to see, reconcile, like, how did this then affect someone else? Like, to learn, to do more of that. Because I remember at one point when I was younger, I was like, no, they're just a fucking piece of shit. And I'm right.
That's been my style since I got here. My style since I got to LA was, yo, this is me. I hate to be like this, but unfortunately, if you don't like it, go fuck yourself. I've said it on the show 100 times, 1,000 times. And in a lot of ways, that still is going to be my attitude. And I'm not super great at, I say this all the time. I take constructive criticism and life advice from my generals. Those are the people I listen to. People that are qualified to give life advice, people that I have ongoing relationships with, and people that I trust.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when people try to source their constructive or creative criticism or life advice from comment sections, they're getting constructive criticism from people who don't know fucking shit. They don't know what's going on. You just see the 1 hour of what's on camera. And so I take a shit ton of life advice from my generals. But I have to really force myself to not get too caught up in the fucking sentiment. Because as much as I say, fuck you, I don't care, after a certain amount.
That shit still hurts,
After a certain fucking amount, it's like, shit. God dang, bro. I'm doing the best I fucking can here. Come to some fucking slack, bro.
Yeah. Well, I think you're doing a great job, man. And this has been a fucking dope podcast, and I'm glad this is the first one back.
Yeah.
And
I haven't done one in a week because I've been off the show. So it's like,
I let it out. I fucking love it, man. Yeah. So make sure you guys subscribe to this fucking channel. Turn the notifications on, all that good shit. I'm posting every Thursday, probably at 10 a.m. And make sure you guys check out Mike's Night Shift.
Yeah, the Night Shift. Impulsive, obviously, where you can hear me and Logan talk about a bunch of fucking random shit. And then for anybody who like resonated, or my story about like my past resonated with you, I hate to even sound like I'm marketing it, but The Fifth Vital, which the title will make sense once you get into the book, is coming out on May 5th. It's everything. It's my life. It's my baby that I've written for 5 years.
Do you have a copy that I could read now?
Yeah, I can get you a manuscript.
Are you going to do audiobook? You got to do audiobook.
It's going to come out on globally on paperback and digital on May 5th, and then I'll have an audiobook soon thereafter.
Are you going to read the audiobook? Yeah, okay, yeah. Lit. Because that's how
I've been asked to. Because of my voice. Some people like and some people don't. But The Fifth Vital, it's everything. If there's things about you that are about me that you might not like or you might not understand, I just encourage people to read that book, and you'll learn what you have to know about me.
For sure. You know? Thank you for coming, man.
Thanks for having me on,
I'm going to fucking, I'm not playing. I'm going to read that book. I'm going to listen to that book.
I appreciate that, bro.
Mostly the audiobook because the voice.
No, that's fine. However you want to get it. But yeah, it's a thriller, bro. It'll be, I don't know how to say this without sounding like an asshole, but like it most likely will probably be a movie in the next year or two.
Let's go. Cool.
We've already talked about it. It's like 300 plus pages. It's a big boy.
Oh yeah,
it's a fucked up tale of just. You might have inspired shit,
like
bro.
The conversation I had with Dan now, and then now this conversation I might start.
It's crazy. I talked to him about it the other day. I said, just make sure you self publish.
Yeah, we were
do
talking
your
about,
own shit. Yeah. I talked to him. I was like, if anybody who thinks about writing a book, you Dan, write it, but then make sure you get somebody to work on it.
Did he tell you about Goggins?
Nah, I haven't talked to him at length, just like passing by. But we can talk about it after.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so thank you guys again. Thank you so much, man. You're fucking dope as shit.
That was amazing.
And thanks for being really candid and straightforward.
Yeah, bro.
For real. Always. Like, fuck, just on this, but just in life. So
thank you, bro.
Thank you guys for listening.